open the meeting of the airport committee for the 13th of May at 12:50. And in doing so, I acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people, their leaders past, present and future, who have contributed to the town of and welcome everyone to the airport meeting. Okay, item three, recording of attendance. Attendance is listed with the exception of Councillor Butson, who is here today, and apologies from Flo Bennett and Chris McMahon. Item 3.3, approved leaves of absence, there is nil. Item 4, response to previous questions. 4.1, questions from the public at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday 1st April, there was nil. 4.2, questions from the committee members at the airport committee meeting held on the same date, there was nil there too. Over a leaf. Okay, public time. Just an important notice that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic devices or instrument to record the proceeding of any meetings unless the person has been given permission by the presiding members to do so. Item 5.1, public question time. I open public question time at 1:52. Are there any public questions? No? I close public question time at 1:52. Item 5.2, public statement time. There being no public statement, I'm assuming that there is nil, so that I'll open it at 1:53 and put it out. Are there any public statements? No? Okay, close it at 1:53 as well. Thank you. Okay, item 6, questions from members without notice. Going around the table. Madam Mayor.
I've got a few if I can. Madam Chair.
Sure.
Just with the airport staff parking flooding issues, have they been resolved?
Director?
Sorry.
I'm so used to having...
Through you, Madam Chair.
Good, he's here.
The program director and I had a discussion about this, and there's been some preliminary estimates done to review and correct that work. The initial estimate came out at $70,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
We believe it won't take that much to actually fix it, but it does obviously needs fill and proper grading, and there's some more work that's been done on the drainage on the western side to ensure that that's water has got access to that drainage. So I don't know if the director wanted to add anything else.
No, just that I was expecting quotes for those matters at the end of last week. I haven't seen them yet, so it's just trouble for me to chase up.
So are we getting it in the budget schedule or endeavouring to get them done before next wet season?
Probably get it done, so the earliest opportunity.
Yeah, so we have a budget for this stuff.
So can we bring that back to the airport committee and let us know when that will occur?
We'll advise all elected members, we'll advise the committee, because I think we'll just action that. We've got the quotes and we know that it's going to be rectified.
Okay, thank you. Any more?
Yes, I have a few more. So, just again, some of the airport staff, particularly those that are checking in and involved with some of the later finishing times, they're still worried about the amount of lighting that's in the current airport area. And I guess just some of them have suggested about whether some of the bus parking area that's not perhaps being utilised, some of those late night workers or later shift people might be able to have the opportunity with an appropriate permit to use that area. Is that something that could be considered?
So, Madam Mayor, just on that point, I thought we had undertaken for late night staff to have a special parking area. Is that not the case here?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
If I may, okay. Through the chair, it is something that we are looking at. In relation to the events that happened last week with the car break-ins,
yeah.
We are looking we're just doing a review and seeing what we can do and what is possible in the short term. So we are looking at it.
How soon can we look at something?
It's...
So then when they tell me, I can tell them.
Yeah, we are looking at it. It is... the bus parking area is actually the darkest spot.
Okay.
Because there is no lighting going into that area.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just looking at the logistics and strategies for other areas.
Great.
Because there are no footpaths linking in other areas as well. So it's, it all ties in together with the car park improvements and flooding areas and stuff like that. So within a few weeks, we should be able to get some estimates. We do have some lighting structure on site already. It's just having the electricians being able to actually do the design.
So could we communicate that back through the airport users group line, or have Nate communicate that to those staff?
Yeah.
Anything else further related?
Yeah, I've noticed it several times now, when you leave the RFDS SHOTA school there, or what you're calling the general aviation slip lane, when you drive out from there and you look to see the traffic coming from the terminal, box.
It's been brought up 2 years ago, actually. It's been brought up about that 2 years ago, saying it needed to be removed or the road needs to be changed.
Sorry, Councillor, I'm asking my question.
Yeah.
So it's quite dangerous. So just wondering, presiding member, what could we do about that?
That has been brought up before, as Councillor Gillingham has just advised. And we were under the impression that at some stage, and correct me or not, that there would be a mirror put up so that we could see the other way traffic. But you two are looking very, very surprised. So I'll pass that on to the CEO. Or the director to answer. Yep.
Within the concepts that I had up earlier, I don't know if you saw, I did point to it, we are actually tarmacking the road to the next exit, and we're actually going to have the slip lane connected to the main staff car parking entry and exit, and so the exit will no longer be from that point in there. So those concepts we will now develop into more detailed design, and then we will just go ahead and actually connected to the next exit along. That will get the car sufficient line of sight to see back down the road. It's a better fix than a mirror.
But what about an interim measure? Yesterday when I pulled out?
It is difficult to see past that box, I do know.
Thank you, Director. I'm seeing Janella raise her hands there, so perhaps I can throw to you.
There is a mirror there at the moment.
Is there? So the mirror's been put up there.
It's a bit far away,
It's across the road, isn't it?
It's not very useful.
Okay.
So maybe we request, Madam Mayor, with your indulgence, that we ask for that mirror, look at maybe reciting that mirror to be more effective, or have a look at why it's not effective. Would that be sufficient as an interim? Because I was under the impression that was the interim fix some time ago. So
I could use it yesterday.
Cool. Yeah.
So, also, the School of the Air have asked, they get a lot, because they're School of the Air, they get a lot of children and parents drive in and pop in and see them when they are here. So, they are raising the possibility of whether some of, maybe two or three, of the admin parking that we have at the admin there, the old building there, might be able to be used by SHOTA for when parents and families are visiting to pop in to get their schoolwork and popping out. Is there an opportunity? So it's not for the staff, it's for visiting parents and families.
Through the chair. It's very, very difficult to police. We are having issues now, as we speak, with the parking in that area. You're talking about the parking next to the operations building?
Couldn't the parents have a permit like elected members and staff have, and you get to put that on your dash?
So, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to answer that question, and noting and acknowledging that parents and children are there for, they do come. I would also suggest that the general parking area has a half an hour free if they're coming in. It takes longer for them to come in.
Sometimes they need to talk to the teacher and they need to do some stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, so it takes longer than half an hour.
Okay. I might throw that to the director.
I guess I'm a little hesitant because the parking there is at a premium. And we've even been considering as to whether we limit the parking in that area to just for work purposes as well, for people that directors and the like that go to travel, because there has been some parking in there when people have been taking leave and the like.
So, just a quick, if I can.
Yes.
When we actually looked at the demolition of the ops building, and we looked at where the terminal would then be, the very western extremity was going to provide, I thought, 16 to 18 car parking bays against the fence of the GA area. And at that stage, that's where we had thought that would have been the after-hours area for staff working late, and it could have been during the day for those short-term visitors to school of the year, etc. I just wonder, and I'll take some advice from Eleanor as well, there's essentially three bays facing the terminal. Those three bays, now the Jacksons have taken most of their construction effort, perhaps those three bays might be the ones we could consider to relinquish and leave the balance of the bays around the corner for staff and contractors who are on site.
Even if we perhaps just trial it, give a permit, see if it works, like it would be better than...
So what we might do is take that on notice for the officers to report back to us on how that might be affected, and as Madam Mayor has indicated, we might suggest a trial period. So we'll take that on notice and get back to you. Good question.
Also, the school of the air have asked if some school zone signs can be put along there, because it is a school zone. I'm just wondering. They have one, so I'm just passing it on.
Madam Mayor.
Would they have a school zone sign?
I'm happy to direct that to the director without having any more comment from me.
I would just say that one, we've already got a speed limit of 30 kilometres an hour in the airport zone as you enter the airport.
40.
40, so this is the same school zone. Yep. There are the speed bumps on that service road. Personally, I think we've got enough signage around without adding more signs. So
we will say that it's been considered, but possibly that might not be action, given that the speed limits are currently the limits as in the school zone. There are speed bumps to attend to that, and it is, as a core business, an airport precinct first.
If I may, I was just double checking with Eleanor. I think the speed limit there is actually 20.
On that slip road,
yeah.
Just passing on what's been passed to me. And finally, maybe if we do the trial of the three car parks, that might help with it, because at the moment, if they're parking in the staff parking and walking back, there's no footpath connection. So apparently they've progressed with the previous director of engineering about they were going to give up a metre of their land to help facilitate footpath. So I don't know if we want to still take them up on that offer, or
maybe
just think, we mentioned before about footpath connections, so
maybe we'll take that on
notice. Don't know if it can be bumped up a bit, just kids, people carrying stuff.
Well, maybe we'll take that on notice pending the investigation of the car parking and what that might look like. So we'll take that as a under consideration and get back.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I just got one, and it's probably something that we touched on earlier. So, look, I'm not sure if this is a town job, or it might be. If it is, it might be part of the marketing strategy. But I suppose in the spirit of celebrating that we have an international airport in Port Hedland, I think whether we advertise a little bit more that people can fly from Bali to London now. They don't have to fly to Perth anymore. They can actually use our airport as a gateway to the rest of the world. So whether or not we just advertise that a little bit more, that, hey, we are an international airport and you can go anywhere from here now via Bali.
Yep.
So,
right. I think what I'll do is we'll take that on as a statement, because I noticed the manager of communications is doing the presentation.
Yep.
And we'll feed that back, but that's a great thought to celebrate the international status of our airport and the RPT flights now available.
That's it. The world is your oyster.
Oyster, absolutely. That's it, there's the other one. Just got another show of branding that. Another slogan to add to our
gateway to the world.
Julie.
What I was wondering, recently when we were flying out, we had to check our luggage in much earlier than the regular flight, and went out there and the lights were out, and they were very accommodating and took our luggage. But there were about 8 or 10 other people sitting waiting in the dark with the kiosks all locked up and no drinks and nothing. And is this a good way that we present our international airport or our airport? They were playing on their phones, you know, but the coffee cart wasn't there. The gates were all down. But I was just wondering, you know, it may not be commercially viable to have someone operating it, but it may also be if they've got nothing else to do other than buy coffee.
Thanks. Julie, what we've done earlier is we've asked through the director for the airport cafe operators to consider opening a certain number of hours before. So what time did we go? We
were that was 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
The flight was at 5. Wasn't
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so I might get the director to feed that, get some information back on what the result was on that.
Yeah, I can update the committee. Basically, the cafe operator is required under its lease agreement, so number one, under its lease agreement, to open an hour before the first departing flight and stay open half an hour after the last departing flight. So the operator very much operates around the schedules. As a business, it's not viable for it to be open outside of those hours because there are normally no passengers and no people around, or very, very little. So it is a little bit of a balancing act in terms of trying to get the cafe operator to open earlier when there is no business for them, essentially. And equally, because we charge the airlines for the screening service that we provide, the screening point does not open until an hour before the first departing flight and half an hour after the last departing flight. So that screening area does lock down as well. And those times might be a little bit longer after departing, if I think about that. But basically, the idea behind that is we're limiting the cost that we then on charge to the airlines themselves. So there's a couple of considerations in there in terms of having the cafe open. Doesn't mean you couldn't open the coffee station. Having said that, though, it does come down to custom. We do provide, well, the cafe operator does provide a vending machine in the area as well, which I know is not great, but it is, I guess, better than nothing. But those are the things that just need to be considered.
So, Councillor Hunt, do you have anything further you want to request of the director to investigate along those, especially the cafe? I'll ask the question.
I was going to say, I'm thinking, what are you getting at?
I'll ask the question. I understand they won't be able to go behind the screen, go behind to the main cafe because of the screening issue. But can we not ask the cafe operators to be outside at least, an hour and a half before? Or not? Is that a problem? Is that a possibility for outside cafe to be open? Because the reality is, if we're talking about international airports, most of them are there 2 hours before.
Mm. Yep.
Or international airports.
And this wasn't an international flight, excuse me.
No, but I'm just saying,
it was just a regular flight, but it would have been at least an hour and a half before the scheduled flight, and there would have been about 8 people sitting,
because I couldn't do anything else.
Did you want to take that on notice and just ask the question and then get back to us?
I can certainly ask the question. There has been some debate with the cafe operator around the viability of the coffee station during the slower times, even though it's required to be open under its lease, only because it's required to be open, but there just doesn't appear to be any custom. And we had actually been having a discussion with them to provide evidence of turnover, so we can actually see where the ebbs and flows are in business. And what we were going to do was look at that and then determine appropriate opening times for the cafe. But equally, I can ask them to open longer. I know what the answer will be, but I'm happy to do it.
My observations, I've never seen a coffee cart work once.
Yeah.
Since I've been there.
Yeah.
So
I've seen it once.
Once? Yeah. I haven't seen it once.
Well, I can tell you this week that the coffee cart, the machine is broken. It's currently not. It's not working
it's
this week.
It's called lack of use.
Yeah, it's got some electrical
problems. It's up for its 2 hour service.
They have had issues with staffing, though. And look, it's the service level for that coffee cart hasn't been great.
Okay, thanks. Any more?
No, thank you. Oh, look, I mean, my question was around the coffee cart as well. It was all, it's really, we need, how can we ensure that it's running for the barley flight? That's probably the most important thing, because that's where you'll see all the media, anyone on Facebook always commenting, they're upset. Yeah. They're the only people that get upset about not being able to get through to the cafe. And if the coffee cart's not viable, can we look at something else, like a machine that people can use instead that would probably be very viable? And there are good ones out there that do proper coffee.
So we'll take that on notice to come back to us with that, because in particular that that international flight's what's going to really hammer our reputation.
Anything that's one that upsets there? People. They're showing, people, sending people off when they can't get a drink.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Right.
Yeah, I have a few questions. Number one is actually the flooding at the air freight area, because there was about 3 or 4 inches of water we had to walk through the other week. Anything being done about that?
Sure, right. I think the CEO mentioned about the drainage, but I'd like to respond to that.
Well, then we were addressing the staff car park at the white area. I wasn't aware of the freight one. That is on their lease area, so I'm not sure how much is coming from our area onto their area, or whether...
I think probably what you've got is because you've got that higher level of where you come round, and then when it rains, the water's going down because it actually goes down into a dip. And it wouldn't have been, if we had have had much more rain, it would have actually gone through their shed and through the office.
So again, the longer term plan is to address that whole area and the freight shed not to even be there, but I don't know that anything's changed that would have changed the situation for a number of years. And unfortunately, if they've been flooded before, I suspect that's going to continue in those sort of rain events. I'm not sure if as much can be done. Janella, unless I don't know if any work's been done on addressing or identifying how much water is coming off the road or apron or that area.
Certainly. My next question is, through the chair, is I'd just like to know what the figures are in the last 3 months for the passengers going in and out of the airport.
Sure. Councillor Butson, I think it's inside of your agenda. Oh, is it? It gives you a report that tells you the number and the variance from the year before and the projected for this year. So did you want us to...
No, that's one. I'll go through it again quickly afterwards.
Yep.
My next question was, how many, have we had any settlements at Precedent 3 as of yet, you know, the land sales?
Sure, I'll refer that to the CEO.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So at this stage, we most of those settlements are all being based around settlement of Bunnings first. And you recall at the last ordinary council meeting, council was requested to provide a licence for Bunnings to access, and I can't remember the name of the road, but the what we call now the cemetery entrance to be able to, for construction purposes, be able to access. So that licence has been prepared by McLeod's. My understanding, it might be looking for me to sign that about now, and then Bunnings have committed to settle within 14 days of receiving that document.
Mm-hmm.
So. Headland First National are now conducting our marketing and sales, and I think we're due to have an update from them next week, and we'll be able to provide a summary to elected members and this committee if necessary of the activity around Kingston Smith Business Park.
Okay,
sure.
Sorry, I've got
so
a few
we'll,
more.
We'll request that,
that
they come to the next airport committee meeting and give us an update on that for the community members.
Yep.
Right.
My next question here is, has the previous general manager was unable to take the position, has the general manager's job for the airport been re-advertised?
Sure, I'm happy to say that, I'll throw that to the CEO for clarification, but no, it hasn't been, is my understanding, but there's a reason for that.
So thank you, Madam Chair. So unfortunately, yes, the previous preferred candidate, well, actually, we actually had signed contractual arrangements with them, but because of other issues, they were not able to come to Port Hedland. I made a determination that at that stage, given that we were much closer for Council's consideration of a long-term lease, not to try and advertise the GM's position again. And I'm in negotiations with the current director program development to look at holding the acting GM's role until such time as Council makes a determination as to whether to proceed or not to proceed with a long-term lease.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my next question is, with the director of the redevelopment, because his air contract is due to expire, will he be doing a new contract for the short term?
Yes, sir.
Yep. And will it be residential, not a FIFO position, being that he needs to be here more?
Okay. So through you, Madam Chair. So yes, there'll be a new contract. The existing contract terminates on the
30th of June.
Sorry. And we will then negotiate another contract for the balance, probably for 5 to 6 months.
Yep.
And the terms of those contracts are supposed to be determined.
Yep. And my last question is, could I request a copy of the income, expenditure and outgoings for the last two financial years, just to go through for consideration when we're doing the leasing for the airport?
So what income expenditure?
Income and expenditure for the airport. For
the
last
airport as a business unit?
Yes, please.
Am I right in assuming that that is part of the budget reporting? I think you're on the committee, so that should be part of that.
So we're happy to have a one-on-one if there's specifics you're looking for.
And I just wasn't just going to go through just to see what the what we're earning and what's being paid out and what's left over.
So this year's budget will actually have the previous year's actuals in it, as well as what's forecast for 14-15. And the next quarterly budget review, which is coming out of our March quarter, is, I think, coming to Council quite soon.
This month's meeting.
Coming to this month's meeting. So that will then have the up-to-date figures for the current financial year up to 31 March. And then as we strike our budget for 15-16, that'll have our budgeted line items, and it'll have the actuals. Once we get past June 30, we'll also have the actuals for 14-15. So is that enough information?
Yeah,
or
that is, thank you. Through the chair, thank you. Yep, thank you.
Happy with that?
Yep, no further questions.
Cool. That's all I get.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. The public submissions, anything starting to come back in for the leasing of the airport? Is that opened yet?
I'll direct that to the CEO.
Through Madam Chair. Yes, it has opened and closing on the 5th of June. I'm not sure if I've been directed elsewhere, but I haven't seen any at this stage.
No. Through the chair. No, I haven't seen any public submissions at this stage.
Nothing's coming up. No. Come on, okay. So it's is it still going to be advertised?
It's advertised
until continual until
seen today's paper again.
Yeah, it's again. Yep.
So all right. Yeah. Okay.
And we have a public forum next week.
So we're having the public forum next week. That's right. Yeah. Good. All right. Thank you. Going back to the cafe, Madam Chair, with what was Councillor Hunt just also mentioned. There was an issue 2 Fridays ago where one of our staff members at the School of the Air actually went over to get a sandwich at 7:30 in the morning, a toasted sandwich, and the staff there reached into the fridge and took out a toasted sandwich which obviously had been made earlier and then proceeded to reheat it. The charge was $10. They took one bite of it and realised it was being reheated, so that staff member actually phoned up the manager of the Esplanade Hotel, explained it, and I believe that's all been sorted out now, but obviously that had been going on. So reheating food, which had first been prepared first thing in the morning when they got there, then putting it into a fridge and then reheating again without doing a proper fresh sandwich, I think we're asking for trouble in this area. So I think it's something we need to really look at, make sure that they're doing the right thing. When I was going to get a coffee there the other day, granted I knew I had to go through the security, it actually took me 20 minutes to go to the security and wait for a coffee, for me just to take that coffee back outside again. That's quite a long, when I wasn't even seeing anybody off, I was just going over there. There's quite a number of staff that actually work at the airport that actually use the cafe and frequent the cafe. At School of the Air itself, for example, there are 10 registered staff there week every day, plus at least 3 or 4 part-time staff.
Yep.
Then you have visitors. It is a tourist attraction. So you have a lot of tourists actually come in and come and listen to the students. That's not counting the Royal Flying Doctor. And that, so I think there's a lot of patronage going to the cafe there. But I just think that we need to be onto this about the foods. Also, the guy that was making the coffee, he did a really good job, but he was one person, and there was quite a number of us waiting for 20 minutes. I really think they need to look at their staff, even if it's just that little half-hour busy time before they get on the aircraft, that there's 2 people on that coffee machine.
So,
one making the coffee, one making the milk.
Councillor Gillingham, I'm assuming that you're unhappy with the service and the quality of the food there. So what we'll do is take that on notice and feed that back. I'm not sure how much influence we as a committee can have, but certainly through their lease arrangements and their health requirements, they are subject to all compliances around the Health Act. So we will notify the right people to keep an eye on that through the committee's feedback, but certainly with regards to customer service, I think it's apparent that this committee would like to feed back to the operators of the cafe that we believe that they need to investigate the quality of service that they are providing to the users of the airport, because it directly reflects on the Port Hedland International Airport's reputation. So we would require that they look at their service, have a review of customer service.
Okay,
so are
you
satisfied with that?
I just want the feedback to you. It's because the staff has asked me to feed that.
Feedback.
Yep, they did actually take it to speak to Andrew Reams at the Esplanade anyway, so he did get it firsthand. But I just wanted to pass that around to everybody here. Yeah, thank you. The footpath that you just spoke about before, Madam Chair, for School of the Air Royal Flying Doctor, I believe some of the plants have not been replaced that had died, and near the rocks area on that slip road. So I know over 2 years ago the path was supposed to be put in place and nothing has happened. So I think, through the Chair, I think Ms. Anna Duffield would have known about that because she would have been part of the airport at that time and things. So a pathway is really, really needed there. Also, the area between the road and the School of the Air Royal Flying Doctor, I believe that is part of their lease. So if they do want to put any signs that say school zone, I believe they can.
Sure.
But I don't know whether they have to actually have permission from you guys first, or whether it's because it's their lease.
I think, not too sure. Just on that response, I would suggest that any sign within the town limits requires some sort of standard.
More than likely.
And compliancy. Mm. So at the end of the day, it does come back to the town with regards to sign placement. But we'll take on board and wait for the CEO's response relating to the footpath, as well as the signage to be incorporated in that.
Mm. And the signs which they did have 2 years ago were taken down by the parking people without even any permission to the School of the Air at all. Thank you. The leaking lounge in the Qantas lounge, I'm getting people saying that they went in there when it was raining, there was lots of buckets there, and the cake flew back in a few days later, there were still buckets there. So I guess there's still a problem with the leakage with the roof or air conditioning, or I'm not too sure.
I might ask the director of operations, the manager of operations and compliance, to report on that. Are you aware of that?
Not in the Qantas lounge, was that when we had the major rain event?
I presume so. I'm just getting feedback from people.
We have an issue with that back gutter, or that back thing. We have put in for the budget next year to do that, and also part of the budget quarterly budget review. We did ask for some money to put in there to have one of those gutters. They just couldn't have.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well,
just
thanks,
Ellen. I suppose that rain event was unusual, and while it is something that will be attended to, it was probably an unusual.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yes, thank you. So with not advertising the manager's position, how many managers do we actually have associated with the airport?
Sure, I'll throw that to the CEO.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, there's manager positions there, isn't the airport, so we have
one. So Eleanor is manager of compliance and operations.
Yes.
So we reported a restructure when we announced the general manager's position. The general manager was going to report straight to the CEO, so the airport was coming out of what was engineering. Wasn't going to form part of the new Works and Services Directorate. The structure at that stage was noted to be a general manager reporting directly to the CEO and forming part of the executive. a manager of compliance and operations, which Eleanor has filled, and terminal duty manager, which is Nathaniel, and he's doing a lot of that first-hand contact with members of the public and our key stakeholders at the airport. And then the structure after that is our airport reporting officers and parking. So it's only one manager, which is on. It's a terminal duty manager. He's not a manager.
Yeah, he's managing the terminal.
So he's managing the terminal as distinct from being a manager in our line. So he doesn't fit into that category of managers in the organisation of the town of Port Hedland.
So basically, there's about three people, I'm presuming, doing the same job as what our past airport manager had a number of years ago. Is that right?
No, it's not.
I'm just asking because I don't know. Because positions have been changed, so I didn't know.
Well, under the restructure, that what the CEO explained is the way the organisation, that's the hierarchy the organisation works to, but it's certainly not the position that our old.
If I could do an equation for you, Eleanor is filling Bob Cousins' role.
Okay, thank you. That's why I needed to find out. I didn't know who was who.
Nathaniel's role is a new role created specifically to focus on customer service and issues surrounding the terminal.
So a new role. He was a new role.
That was a new position created.
Okay. All right, thank you. And how many parking inspectors do we have?
Thank you. I'm not sure how many are actually on board at the moment. So the parking, the paid parking inspectors at the airport started off, when I arrived here, there were seven positions. And I don't believe since that time there's ever been seven actually employed, because a number of them were vacant. And I kept challenging that number with the then director, saying I could not believe that we needed that number of positions at the airport, and we needed to look at how technology could be better used rather than people. So, Eleanor, have you got three?
If I may, there's three paid parking positions, and then there is coverage from the rangers for the seven-day roster for those people. There were four, but one position was converted to a trainee ranger position.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Eleanor. Yeah, that's it. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. That. We'll move on to item. Oh, actually, I do have a question with regards to. If I could have, please direct this question to the Director of Airport Redevelopment. Just an update on the Northwest Aviation Services and how they're going with regards to the passing away of the manager there.
Yeah, sure, no problem at all. Probably Nat would have been the better person to ask with the more direct contact, but from the contact I've had so far, they've put a counselling program in place for their staff, and look, they're all still grieving, obviously. It was a tragic event, and there has been support provided from other airports from Northwest Aviation Service in terms of having a management presence there at the moment. So they've put a process, I guess, in place to handle staff grieving and the that natural process that you would need to go through. But they've also put a management temporary management structure in place while they recruit a new manager as well, which is being backfilled by managers from Newman and Karratha Airport at the moment. And the managing director has an increased presence up here as well at the moment as well. I did also speak with Todd Chapman from Qantas just to see how performance was going from his perspective, and he did say that that they were being entirely professional and supportive, and that he had no concerns in that regard as well. And also they were being very careful as well because this is quite a delicate matter.
Thank you. And lastly, could you give me an update on how the details of the car theft?
I'll throw that to Ellie in a sec. She'll have more detail than me. The last time.
Not really. From our perspective, the people came with intent. They basically cut through our padlocks, cut through our fences, and came through. There's nothing that we could have physically done apart from having an armed security guard on site, which causes its own issues, and also to have some sort of other deterrence, that's like an electrified stop event or something like that. They had intent, and from that perspective, there was nothing to do. We are looking at the actual monitoring of the CCTV and investigating it actually being monitored live rather than reactive. We did have static security patrols through the car parks, but they finished at midnight because the company that we used didn't have people on the road after that time. So this occurred in the early hours of the morning, so it was outside that period. But we have looked at the CCTV and also the lighting and other possible deterrents. There are some short-term things that we can do that we're already looking at as per the monitoring of the CCTV and going down that path.
Just wanting to make sure that there was some risk mitigation strategy being implemented to in relation to this, because if there were, the fact that they came over the runway and all of that,
you should causes have been other issues. When we saw that happen.
Yeah, causes other issues, not only the fact that the car was stolen. So,
was the car stolen? Did it have its keys in it?
We don't know.
Hmm. So it was a hire car, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
So just basically, I think the second part of that question was in relation to how we as a town handle the social media that goes with the event, an event like that. Have we got anything happening that attends to that, or should we be looking to sort of put information out there, rather, you know, so that there is communication out there already rather than people communicating to us, or is there a strategy around that?
Sure, Anna can probably talk to this as well, but obviously I contacted Anna straight away and we had a conversation around potential comms. I think from memory, Anna, that the decision was taken that if it pops up in social media, then we would communicate and engage proactively at that point in time. So that was the strategy that we took.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item 7, declarations by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business papers presented before the meeting. Now I have a show of hands. That's 2, 4, 6, 7. Thank you, Anna. Gross. Okay, item 8, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. 8.1, confirmation of those meetings held at the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 1st April 2015. And all we need is a simple majority vote here. Are there any points of clarification?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Mayor Howlett. Second. Item 9, announcements by presiding member with... Sorry? Oh, the vote. Those against? 7.
I wasn't Carrie? Here, so... Sorry? I wasn't here, so...
You can still vote. Still okay. Accept the meeting. You just can't move them. Okay, so we'll reflect that there are 7. Okay, item 9, announcements by presiding member without discussions. I do have 2 announcements, and one of them being that I announced to the committee some time ago that the Port Hedland International Airport came up in a Qantas report as one of the worst performing airports, and we were very concerned as to... And that occurred at a meeting that we went to with the Qantas, with Todd Wood from... Chapman from Qantas, when we were at the AAA Airports Conference, and he advised us that that was the case. That was a bit of a concern for us, and we requested that he provide us with further details so that we could understand why the Port Hedland International Airport would be turning up on a report such as this, and we certainly wanted to attend to it. So it turns out that the report, we were the worst performing in Australia because most of their Qantas passengers didn't like the Qantas lounge. So it didn't have anything to do with the airport or the town or anything. It was the dissatisfaction that most users had with their lounge. So as a result of that, there was what the director earlier told you, investigations as to where and how they might attend to the congestion in their lounge and a better experience for Qantas frequent flyer members. So that's been attended to, was of great relief, and Todd kindly rang up on when we were in Darwin last week at the joint Kimberley-Pilbara Forum. So that was good to hear that it wasn't the airport, it was their lounge that was. So that was good. Just letting you know that there's works around that. So the second thing is the intra-regional region connectivity. One of those things that we've been lobbying at various levels of state and federal levels to talk about intra-region connectivity, and also the fact that we are the international airport at the moment, so we have global connectivity right here at the Pilbara. So we are really challenging those various organisations to support the any initiatives that will promote intra-region connectivity, being the Northwest, and also the fact that we are now an international airport, and that we would like to clearly define that Port Hedland is the gateway to Asia from the Pilbara and certainly the Northwest region. So just those two announcements to let you know that that occurred at the PDC level and the PRC level. Okay, moving on to item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. And today we have at 10.1 the wonderful Anna Duffield, Manager of Corporate Information, who's going to present to us an update on our airport communication strategy. So, Anna, now before you do this, I suppose I should read the disclaimer, which says that members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest, until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Okay, Anna, take it away.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought today I'd just provide you a quick update on our communications strategy. So you'd be aware from previous conversations that what we're looking at for communications around the renovation program, so they're all our various tactics which are continuing when we hit milestones. And I'm not sure if you've seen these banners as you go to the airport, so they're certainly, I think they're quite effective. The team did a great job on that. I thought I'd just give you an update, and media releases as well. So these obviously go out when we hit certain milestones, so talking about the improvement program, the 737 service, and then terminal renovations. And that goes across our social media as well. And our Hedland Highlights weekly advertisements, and then there's, you can't read it there obviously, but then there's sections in there talking about the airport redevelopment, which happens on a regular basis. So long-term lease communications, which is our active strategy happening at the moment. Committee members would be aware that we've commenced a governance review, engaged the airport group, which is looking at a long-term lease of the airport, which is currently out for public consultation at the moment. And just talking through that, given it's quite a complex topic, there really is a need to make sure that that's communicated effectively to the community, so they're making informed, it's an informed discussion basically. So our objectives around this strategy is really to ensure that the community gets the facts about the proposed arrangements, and that we're communicating in a way that minimises misinformation dominating the conversation. So strategic approach, we're really empowering the community, proactively anticipating any potential concerns, and then providing simple to understand explanations. So in terms of the strategies that we're using, it's really creating a narrative for people so that there is that conversation around it, and really taking it down away from the jargon and really explaining it in plain English for people. Providing evidence around where else this has happened. So we've got some case studies which you may have seen in our press advertisement. So local newspaper, there's a series of weekly full page ads happening in Northwest Telegraph. And then radio segments, so the mayor is a part of her weekly conversation on Spirit Radio, talks about the airport governance arrangements. Social media, so both all of those messages reflected across social media as well. Information display, so that will be installed at the airport. Community forum, which Councillor Gillingham mentioned, that's happening next Wednesday, 20th of May at 6:30, so advertising for that at the moment. And important to note that the conversation will continue after this public consultation period, so it's not like we're just going to get people's comments and then nothing further. It will be keeping that going, I guess, until Council makes its final resolution in the coming months. And here's just some examples of the full-page press ads that we've done. So this was the first one, which was really the summary of the arrangements, and then stepping through onto particular topics. So this one here is talking about the redevelopment program. This one was about various case studies, so looking at what other airports have achieved since they've gone into a private operator model. And that talks about the community forum for next week. So that was all I had, unless there were any questions. I'm happy to take on board the comment about our international services and really stepping that up with, that will be a conversation that we'll have with Virgin, because essentially it's their route, but certainly something that the town can support.
Sure. Shall we go around the
table?
Madam Mayor, do you have any questions?
I guess this is good in terms of the long-term lease. I guess I was thinking we were going to have a communication strategy about all things airports. So I guess I'm just quite keen to see, you know, three things a week on our Facebook site about it. You know, it's the public art when it gets started. I just think we're not doing enough to promote what we're doing there. So I guess I wanted to see the overall strategy. I noticed once there was one post about a flight being late. Flights seem to be late all the time, so I'm just wondering how we up the communication there.
So the original strategy here was around the milestone, so that is certainly continuing. That when we have a milestone, or when, you know, public art as an example, when that gets finalised, we'll certainly be doing communications around that. When there's particular milestones with the renovations, during conversations.
Well, the painting started now, so it'd be good to see people with painting and getting excited, and the tender's been given to Xander and Kathy, and yeah, I just don't see any of that information. Like, I think the way it's building up, we actually need a 0.3 or a 0.5 airport communications person. Like, yeah, the coffee machine's broken, you can't use it. Like, there's just no information coming out. So I guess that's, I'm a bit disappointed with that, but maybe I didn't listen to what the brief was.
We'll take that on notice, and we'll have further discussion around that. Anything, Brett?
No.
Oh, only exactly what you said, Anna, about the promoting the international flights. And like I said, it is Virgin, but it is also our airport. Mm. We are the only one that is international currently. Mm. Let's make a big thing of it.
Yeah.
We run over the top of Bruno Corazon.
Jason?
No.
Right.
Jane? Oh, yeah. The slide which Anna put up about the big airports such like Brisbane, Perth and all those on the right hand side here, saying that cumulative investments over the past 15 years, Adelaide, Brisbane, Canberra, Hobart, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, they're major airports, they're major airports. So over here you've got Alice Springs, Mount Isa, Launceston, Melbourne, you've also got Melbourne and Brisbane in here as well. So why is Melbourne and Brisbane sort of in there as well?
Well, we're lucky with that why it's there, but I'm sure.
I'm just asking.
What's your question with regard to
my question is, where are the, what will be the figures? How long have they, if they've gone to, for example, a lease and etc. You know.
Do we have any figures on those that you might be able to bring at some stage? No.
Through the chair, I can certainly raise that with the airport group and find more information, but that's the information that we had to communicate, so that's what we included.
Okay.
Right. Yes, please. Yeah, that'd be really good. Yeah, thanks. Especially for the public consultation, because I think their questions are obviously going to come
forward. If I could also say through the chair, that information is publicly available and publicly communicated. So we use that information particularly because it's already out there. It's, you know, can't be challenged. Not that we expected it to be.
The key message, I think, is that even where there's been leases for the Commonwealth on airports, the investment that has occurred has been far and above what has been mandated in the leases. I think that's the message we're trying to get across. So we can mandate an investment requirement by the lessee, but what the historical evidence is showing is that every airport has been leased. All airport lessees have actually invested far more than what they were required to do under their lease.
Sure.
So that, I think that was the message we were trying to get across.
Just figures, I think, will be really good to dig up for public consultation.
So we might request that the director, maybe for the next meeting, present to us some figures in relation to regional airports that might have benefited along with the metro airport. Okay, just on my comment on, and just to reiterate the mayor's comment, is there's a few things that I really this is so much better than where it was, so we're getting there. You're doing a good job with regards to picking up where we're talking about using the airport as a separate business unit to just melding it in with the rest of the town's communication. I guess if you go back to your thingy, you said inside, you know, we had three of them, or all of the headlines. I think you could admit that the airport gets lost in there. And I think we should be a lot more prominent, given that there are a few things that we as a committee have always said that we need to do with this airport. Is that number one, we need to advertise that we are the international gateway. And now with the RPT flights on, we really need to punch that. We also know that we've got at both ends airports that are dying to have our international status. So we need to be loud and proud about the fact that we are the international airport. So we would like a communication strategy that, similar to what Madam Mayor suggested, that highlights the certain things that we are on a great journey. And I know this might be putting more pressure on your team, but if you could come back to us through the CEO and the director, providing the resources for our communication team to enable us to promote the airport like it should be. Alison sent around a media statement the other day about how Karratha and Broome are trying to pinch our international state, and yet that media statement didn't even advise in that statement that Port Hedland has currently got the international. Port Hedland was not mentioned. They didn't even mention that currently there was access to international airways through Port Hedland. So that tells you that two airports that don't have the status are getting the media, and we have the status and we're not in the media. So I think we have to agree, and we request that the town budget enough that this airport gets that marketing money to really properly market it. And that means not only marketing it as in selling things, but that means taking on board what the comments of the committee was around the operation of that cafe. Because that cafe is one of the two things that you look online and look at people complain about: the cafe and the lounge. And yet they put that back on the airport, or they put that back on the town. And that, I think if we just did two of those things to get those cafe operators to say they need to be more conscious of their role in the whole service that airport presents and the reputation that they create on us, I think that can't be highlighted enough. So
I'm not sure we're going to publicly comment.
No, we're not going to publicly comment, but behind the scenes we should be putting pressure on that, because we need to be, as airport, as the owners of the airport, conscious that a lot of how they behave reflects on our reputation. So marketing, I think, is, I don't think we can highlight enough the fact that we need to be out there saying that we are, irrespective of the carriers, we don't want to, we should be in partnership utilising, you know, creating that marketing opportunity to say Bali, and here we are now, that we also have a line flying from Newman to Port Hedland on Friday. We should be really kicking that in. That's one step to the intra-connectivity we're talking about. We never had that before, but now we do. So people come from Newman on a Friday, and they might want to stay a week in beautiful Port Hedland.
It could be a package for hotels and fly out to Bali the next day.
It's a pity Flo wasn't here tonight, because we wanted to talk to Flo about what packages or what marketing they could do, given that she's in the travel industry. But I think we should look at opportunities to do that. So that's all the comment. Thanks, Anna. That was great. Cheers. All right. Let's move on to page 10. Item 11, 11.1 from the Office of the CEO, 11.1.1, Airport Management Report. Now, I am conscious that we've only got about 10 minutes, Brett, so I'll assume that most of the office's recommendation that the airport committee notes the airport management report has been read and accepted. Are there any points of clarification?
No points, so much.
Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.
Seconded by the Mayor. Those against? Let the record reflect 7-0. Okay, move on to page 20, which is item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member. There are nil. Item 13, motions of which previous notice has been given. There are nil. Item 14, there are nil confidential items of. Item 15, applications for leave of absence for the next airport committee meeting, which is scheduled for Wednesday the 3rd of June. Are there any applications for leave of absence? Julie?
I'll be leaving on the 3rd of June and back on the 26th, so I'm guessing I'll miss a couple of meetings there.
Okay, Councillor Hunt. Any others around the table?
So you'll make that formal application through the OCM?
Yes.
Okay. Item 16, attendance by telephone and instantaneous communications. Are there any committee members requiring that for the next meeting on the 3rd of June? No? Fabulous. Okay, then we move on to item 17. And before we talk about the next date of meeting, I would recognise that as Janella has mentioned, this is Janella's last meeting with the airport committee. So on behalf of the committee, Janella, I can't see you because his head's right in your way. But I think it would be appropriate for us to recognise your service to the airport committee, and I'm sure the town will recognise your service to the organisation itself. But as chairperson, I'd like to thank you for your diligence, your passion and the fact that you have cared about your job and delivered to us some very effective reports, and the feedback from us is that wherever you go, they are a winner. So the organisations that attains your service will definitely be the organisation that is fortunate to get your services there. So we wish you well, your family and yourself, and we know you won't be a stranger, because once a Hedlander, always a Hedlander. We look forward to you visiting us, because you'll see the fruition of your contribution to not only the airport but around the town. So thank you very much, and we wish you well, and God bless. Okay, so date of next meeting is Wednesday the 3rd of June, 12:30. And with that having been said, I'm happy to close the meeting 5 minutes early, Grace, because you were concerned we were going to be late at 1:55. And thank you, members. Thank you.